Good morning. I'd like to call the House Education Committee to order. Today is April 5th. Let the record reflect the time is 8 a.m. Today we have present Representative McKay, Representative Prox, Representative Imshute, Representative McCormick, Representative Allard, and myself, Representative Ruffridge. We do have a quorum to conduct business, and I would like to remind committee members and those in the audience to please silence or turn off your cell phones. Staff assisting us today is Linda with House Records and Kelsey with the LIO. Thank you for being here today. We have a limited time on our agenda today. We just have about 25 minutes. So we are going to focus on the first item on our agenda, which is House Bill 148, Alaska Performance Scholarship. And we had public hearings scheduled for that this morning, so I would like to make sure that we take the time to get that started today. So, is there any comments or questions from committee members before we start? All right, seeing none. All right, I will open public testimony on House Bill 148, Alaska Performance Scholarship. Is there anyone in room wishing to testify on House Bill 148? Seeing none, looks like we do have a few folks online. So we will start with Paul Layer, Vice President for Academics at the University of Alaska. If you could introduce yourself for the record, Mr. Layer, and your affiliation, and give us your testimony, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. For the record, Dr. Paul Layer, Vice President for Academics, Students, and Research with the University of Alaska. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in favor of HB 148, upgrades to the Alaska Performance Scholarship Program. As you are all aware, the APS has been a very successful program providing financial support for thousands of Alaskan students to pursue post-secondary education opportunities and keep them in Alaska into the workforce. The proposed legislation will provide significant changes to make the APS program more accessible to students and more competitive as we are recruiting students into a variety of post-secondary opportunities. A couple of things that I want to highlight. One is the notification timeline, changing that from 6 months to 18 months in the proposal. We generally start to recruit students early in their junior year and want to inform them of our financial packages that we have available to them. And having the APS letting students know that they may be eligible for that, consider if they complete their high school career early enough, allows us to roll that into a package with university aid and federal aid as well. So the timing allows us to be competitive with outside institutions. One of the other changes is to remove the testing barriers. When we were under the COVID emergency regulations, removing the testing barriers opened up the APS to more students to apply. And we have been we've been tracking those students and they are doing as well. The University of Alaska, our universities do not require standardized testing for admissions. We use it for placement, but we do not use it for admissions. And this would follow along with that. As you know, inflation has hit everything and increasing the amount of the APS will allow us to, again, create financial packages for students to reduce or eliminate student debt. And that's one of our objectives is to reduce that burden upon students. And finally, I think we all know somebody who didn't do as well in high school. But once they got to college, they found their passion, they found their stride. And so the step-up provision is one that we support to allow the state to reward students for academic excellence once they reach post-secondary education opportunities. So there's a lot of things in this legislation we support. We've been working very closely with ACPE and the bill sponsor to really make sure that these things are included. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
And thank you for your testimony, Dr. Layer. Is there any questions for Dr. Layer from committee members?
I have a question.
Representative Allard.
Dr. Layer, when you were talking about that there is no test for admission, but there is for what placement they're going to get in the classrooms. For example, if they were to want to be in calculus, you would have them take a placement test. Is that correct?
Yes, through the chair, yes, that is correct. Either they would use the SAT or ACT standardized test, or we would do our own internal placements to look at their mathematics and writing ability. So we put them in the appropriate class so that they can be successful and move through the process.
Can we do a quick follow-up? Please follow.
So then my question is, if they're applying for a scholarship, wouldn't you recommend that they take a placement test in order to obtain their scholarship? Or their SAT or their ACT so that they don't get into classrooms that might be at a level that they can't handle, fail the class, get kicked out, lose their scholarship?
Well, through the chair, once again, we do, for all students coming in, we do have multiple placement tools that we use, including the standardized tests or our own internal tests called AccuPlacer or Alex for mathematics. So we are, for all students, we want to make sure that they are placed in the right program. It's not a requirement for eligibility for our UA Scholars Program that they have those standardized testing scores. We will ensure that they are placed in the appropriate class so that they can succeed, even if they, you know, no matter where they have come from in the state in terms of their high school experiences. And so it is our goal to make sure that all students are placed properly and that they can succeed. And I just having it be a condition for this scholarship has not been effective in terms of our getting students to come to the university or to really be successful. So I think eliminating that requirement has been good during the COVID time, and I think we still support that.
Please.
So lower the standards?
No, it does not lower standards. For the first year, we will place students where they need to be. You know, and one of the things about the APS is after the first year, your test score doesn't really matter because you will be rewarded a continuation based upon your performance in college. And so it's really only looking at the first year. It doesn't lower the standards for our students coming in for their placement in various courses or for their admission into majors.
All right. Any other further questions? And I'd like the record to reflect that we were joined by Representative Story at 8:06 a.m. All right. Thank you for your testimony, Dr. Lehr, and answering questions. We will next move to Maisie Zug. If you could introduce yourself for the record and your affiliation and give us your testimony.
Hi, Kosher Allard, Kosher Refuge Committee member. My name is Maisie Zug, and I'm a pharmacy student here in Alaska. I would like consideration of a great way to keep the best and brightest students in Alaska who are going to college in Alaska and then working in Alaska. I believe that this was the original intent of the Alaska Performance Scholarship. I am an Alaskan that was fortunate enough to have graduated from an Alaska high school that had a pharmacy tech program, a career and technical education program of study. I worked hard at my studies and became eligible for the highest level of APS. I went to undergraduate school for 3 years at the University of Alaska Anchorage. I wanted to be in my home state because living here provided me with many opportunities to work while I went to college and enjoy the great Alaskan outdoors. I hope to be an example for many other young Alaskans that rigorous and meaningful college can happen here at home. I was also able to go to undergraduate school pretty much debt-free by using the APS scholarship and other local scholarships that I was awarded. Here is why I would like the APS looked at for a better eligibility of usage. At year 3 of my undergraduate chemistry studies, I was able to apply and get accepted to a pharmacy school, a PharmD program that is right here in Alaska. I couldn't believe that I was going to be able to fulfill my dream of becoming a pharmacist right here in Alaska. The University of Alaska and Idaho State formed a partnership that provide and grow pharmacists for Alaska's critical healthcare needs. I am happy to say that I was accepted and white-coated right here in Alaska on stage at the University of Alaska. I never have to leave. My program is 100% here in Alaska. A classmate from my high school pharmacy tech program also got accepted and currently goes to school with me. We both work at local community pharmacies as well as hospitals, and we are excited to give back to Alaska as pharmacy interns. Sadly, though, both of us have 2 to 3 years left of our APS eligibility, but as Alaskans going to school in Alaska, we cannot use it. Because of this technicality that our program is a university partnership program where we pay tuition to the partner university, in this case, Idaho State University, who likely turns and pays the University of Alaska for their usage for the university space in Anchorage, where we go to school every day, we are not eligible. I think it is a clear example of where the exact purpose of the APS to keep Alaska's brightest and best is not working or meeting its intentions. At any time, but especially during this critical time of out-migration of Alaska students and workers that are my age, I would like to think there would be more intention, efforts, and financial encouragement to keep every one of us here in this great state of Alaska. These schooling partnerships are the only way that we are going to grow doctorate positions in this state. We all desperately need them. We are the young people with families here that want to stay here. That's me and my classmates and so many potential others. They're opening in these programs, yet we don't qualify to use our APS to go to school 100% in Alaska. These are extremely innovative ways to bring opportunity and growth to Alaska to help with a quality of life service, but because of the stream of money, we are the ultimate commodity the Alaska student misses out. I consider this bill to increase access to the very underutilized APS, and also if there is a way for consideration of any student that physically goes to school 100% on the University of Alaska property, the ability to access and use the Alaska Performance Scholarship they worked so hard to earn. At this time, I would like to thank the committee members for this opportunity to testify, and I'm happy to entertain any questions.
And thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions for Maisie Zuck? All right, seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll move on to Amy Bristor. Amy, please introduce yourself for the record and your affiliation, and provide us your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Amy Brister. I reside in Fairbanks. I'm also a mom of two high school students at West Valley High School. My background is working at the University of Alaska Fairbanks in admissions for a number of years, and also currently working with high school students who are dual enrolled. I'd like to talk in support of HB 148. I have worked at the university and seen the inception of the Alaska Performance Scholarship, and also have seen the tremendous amount of opportunities that it has awarded many students. However, it does have some flaws that I believe this bill will help make the scholarship even more successful for Alaska students. By removing the ACT-SAT requirement, we will remove the mixed messages students are receiving about taking the ACT or SAT. With COVID, nationwide, there has been a shift to not require the ACT or SAT for admissions at most universities, and they have removed this requirement as well. We know here at the university that it's not an indicator of success in college. The ACT-SAT is also extremely hard to take if students are from a community that isn't on the road system and or near close to a testing center, which is a lot of Alaska. The university, for years, we have made a makeup ACT test for incoming students to take in their first week of school only to finalize their admissions requirements. This is too late to qualify for APS for students. Even the highest achieving students, in my experience, have struggled with standardized testing, and I have seen a number of students over the years who have been designated as a UA scholar, which is the top 10% of their graduating class, not receive APS because of the testing requirement. Additionally, students who have test anxiety or documented disabilities often don't test well, and it doesn't mean that they won't do well. A high achieving student who has put in the work to get a GPA over a 3.5, which is the top tier, can easily be knocked down to the lowest award level based on their low test score or just not receive it at all. Right now, students who are interested in an associate degree, which is our two-year degree programs, and these are typically some type of technical training, are required to take the ACT or SAT in order to qualify. The ACT-SAT has never been a requirement for admissions into an associate degree here at the university. Finally, we are losing our highly motivated high school students here in Alaska who are receiving messages from colleges to apply in the fall of their senior year. They're getting messaging from those universities, very competitive universities, who are giving them scholarships and funding notifications in the spring of their senior year. And we are not giving confirmation of their APS scholarship until the end of July after they have graduated. Even then, the University of Alaska doesn't know their final award until oftentimes the fall semester has started. And we have no way of reassuring an incoming high school student or their family of confirmation of their scholarship. By moving the award notification date into the end of their junior year, we will be able to be giving students reassurance that the state of Alaska wants them to stay here. And then on a final and personal note, my niece, who is graduating from high school this year, will not qualify for APS because of her test scores, despite her taking it multiple times. She has a 3.8 GPA. She's been very successful in high school, has worked very hard. She's attended the Anchorage Middle College this last year, done very well. However, she has a documented disability and doesn't do well with tests, no matter how hard she tries. It's unfortunate because she is ready for college next year. She plans to attend UAA. I won't hold that against her. She also plans to teach in Alaska. And these are the types of students this bill will help. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions for Amy? Representative Story.
Thank you, through the chair, and thank you for testifying. I'm not sure I got this correctly, but I thought you said you'd worked somehow in maybe advising students. And I was wondering, at what point do you start talking to students about the APS scholarship?
Thank you, through the chair. I have a background in admissions, and so I recruited students for a number of years, and I currently work with high school students who are dual enrolled. Over the years, I have, no matter at what age, a freshman, sophomore, I have talked to students and their families about the Alaska Performance Scholarship and encouraging them to pay attention to the requirements so that they are getting in the right classes, paying attention to their GPA, and then taking the SAT or ACT when it's time.
Follow. Is there any kind of notification date that high schools are using or the college system to let students know, like a letter, that it's time to be thinking about the APS if you want to qualify?
Through the chair, when I'm in my time in admissions, I also oversaw the communications, and we did communicate via mostly email is how we would do a lot of our communications. And those were some of the communications that we would do early on. Typically in their junior year is when those types of communications would go to Alaska-based students, reminding them about the Alaska Performance Scholarship. And then in my own experience as a parent, as a incoming freshman for both of my daughters, it was the very first thing that our high school guidance counselor went over and to ensure that they were taking the right classes from the very beginning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Allard.
Thank you. Ms. Bister, this is Representative Allard. You had mentioned that the children, if the kids were getting notified sooner, it would help out with the scholarship. I have an amendment that would notify our students end of their freshman year, potentially the beginning and the end of their sophomore year. Would that help as far as notifying students when they could apply and maybe seal that they'd want to come to the University of Alaska?
Through the Chair Allard, I think I'm not sure what the amendment is, but it sounds like it's a notification requirement to make sure that all students know about the Alaska Performance Scholarship. I do know that in the bill that there's a move to change the actual notification of qualifying for the scholarship at the end of their junior year. And so that absolutely, I think all communication to students and their families would always help get the word out.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions for Amy? Okay, seeing none. We are at the end of our online testimony. Is there anyone in room wishing to testify? Seeing none. It sounds like just got a note that we're having some issues with our phone line. It's saying that our call-in is temporarily unavailable. So as a result of our technical difficulties and our time constraints for this morning, I will leave public testimony on House Bill 148 open. We will continue that at a later time. We will not be hearing amendments this morning, but you have amendments on your desk, so please look those over. We will hear amendments at the conclusion of public testimony, which we will have to notice for a later date. We do need to be out of this committee by 8:30, so is there any questions or comments from committee members before we adjourn? All right. Any further comments? No? Okay. Well, if we have committee on Friday, we will notice that we will continue public testimony on 148 on Friday. But please stay tuned to our committee announcements. And seeing no other business, we will stand adjourned.